Welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto, and holy smokes, I am now realizing that I think I've been recording my last couple shows through my computer microphone on accident because I'm an idiot. So now we have the round two of the SMX playoffs. You know, I really wish there was just something good to talk about that happened in St. Louis. Nothing exciting really happened. I picked the 250s correct. I mean, not a big deal. I got the 450s wrong. Oh, well. I think that about wraps us up here for this episode. Psych! Boy, did we have something to talk about. It was an absolute insane 250 races, an insane ending to both 450 races. We'll start it off qualifying 250s. Hayden Deegan came out fastest qualifier. Also, shout out Racer X. I don't know if I just straight up missed it last time, but we got combined qualifying back on. It is once again a clickable option. So I'm not sure if I just straight up missed it last week. No, I did not, because looking back at it, still not there for last week. So we got combined qualifier back, thankfully. And so it makes it really easy to read this. Hayden Deegan, fastest qualifier with a 110.069. Right behind him, Levi Kitchen. I came into this round hoping maybe for a little bit more from old Levi, because he had a solid race last week in Charlotte. Obviously the one moto format, he finished fourth, so he got fourth overall. He gave us fireworks. I think you can easily say he probably didn't give us the best racing that he has, but he definitely gave us something to talk about. So before we get to that, we'll touch on the fact Joe Shimoda came into the day, I guess, didn't know this until after moto number one, where he didn't go to the podium, where he finished second place, said he was sick. And then after I heard that he was sick, in the interviews that they would show during the races of him from press day on Friday, or their riding on Friday, and the interviews, all the interviews he did on Friday, you could definitely hear like something in his voice just wasn't exactly right. But so seeing him 13th in qualifying, not the craziest thing. A little bit of a worrisome type of situation there for Joe Shimoda, thinking, all right, you might be good. Now, granted, he was only 1.2 seconds off the pace, not exactly where you want to be, obviously, but that's where he was. So getting into moto number one, notes. Starting off, man, now I just kind of like my brain, I just did it again. All right, we need to take a 5-second break here and figure everything back out. Okay, we are back. Hopefully got everything figured out in this old noggin of mine. And so had to just quickly give myself a little reminder how we're doing things now, because I almost just went back to the old Moto 1. Tom Vial, good jump. Tom Vial is one guy that I do want to talk about this. He had two of maybe the weirdest races ever. So he starts off Moto 1. He got a really good jump. Came across the hole shot line in second, I believe. Deegan was able to get the hole shot. Shimoda was up there. Shimoda got to second place fairly quickly, but we saw Tom Vial running podium level speed for the first, I don't know, 5, 7 to 10 minutes of this race. And then he just started going backwards very, very quickly. He ended Moto 1 in 10th place, which was just really strange. Kind of what happened, kind of what happened last week in Charlotte as well, where he finished in 7th. Once again, in that moto, if I remember correctly, it doesn't have, I got to go back and look, 250 Moto 1, 5th place. He was in 5th place early, so not obviously not as good as 2nd place early, but he was still in a pretty solid spot in Charlotte. Went back to 7th, not as bad as what happened here, Moto 1 in St. Louis. And then they get to Moto 2, gets another really good start, gets the whole shot actually in this moto. And I believe it was Will Christian said she either talked to his mechanic or the team manager, Ian Harrison, at KTM. And they basically were just like, oh, yeah, he's just a main event guy. He's, when it comes around to this time of the day, which, I mean, it was nighttime at this point, like typical around main event-ish time, maybe a little bit earlier, he comes alive. That's when he comes alive. They've been running this two-moto format for the last 11 rounds for Tom Vial, because he missed a pro motocross. So he ran it 10 times in pro motocross, ran it once already. Well, oh shoot, brain fart there. Only ran one round or one moto in round one in Concord. But anyway, the whole, he's a main event guy. That cannot be your answer to that for Tom Vial. I think it was maybe more just of a, we are sick of Tom Vial and kind of ready for him to be off this team type of answer. Here's just some BS excuse, really, is kind of what I took it as. I don't think you can call yourself a main event type of guy, especially in Supercross, when he won one Supercross this past year in Pittsburgh and two the year before. He's got 3 Supercross wins. So I don't really think you can call yourself a main event guy if in 3 years you have 2 wins or 3 wins, 2 of them in one season, 1 of them in this past one. Granted, yeah, he does have 2 championships in it. But still, he ran the two moto format his entire time over in the MX2 class in the MXGP series. So I don't know how that's really an excuse for Tom Vial. But he did go out and have a better moto number 2, where he went out and ended up getting the win. So he went 10-1, which is just crazy that that is his moto scores, and he finished 5th overall. So yeah, just very, very interesting day for Tom Vial. He starts it off qualifying 5th, Moto 1 10th, Moto 2 1st, overall, I said was 5th, correct? Yeah, 5th. So honestly, I think KTM might just be ready to have only Juju Beaumaire for next, well, shoot, never mind. I have no clue what the heck KTM's plan is for the 250s next year. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for KTM. That is for sure. Losing Sexton, getting Eli, most likely getting Prado here coming up. Losing Vial in the 250s. Who knows when Julian Beaumaire is going to be ready to ride again after this big injury. Very, very interesting times for KTM coming up. Who else we want to talk about? We got one guy, two guys we got to leave for the end. Seth Amaker, another very, very solid weekend for Seth Hammaker. Ends up going 3-3 for second overall. There's a chance with all this drama going on, where's the points at? 250 points. He's only 14 back going into a triple point round. There's a sneaky chance where Seth Hammaker might be able, I saw some other people say it on the old Twitter machine or X machine, there's a chance where Seth Hammaker could get some revenge for Supercross and end up winning this world championship, SMX world championship. With how consistent he's been, he got last week in North Carolina, he got a second, followed that up in St. Louis with a second. So, I mean, I'm not putting it out of question here. Nothing really, like, super crazy for Seth Hammaker. I don't even have him in my notes for the motos. That's just how kind of consistent he's turned out to be since getting back to these SMX tracks. He had, if I remember correctly, he had some tough ones. Yeah, he had some tough ones in motocross. He's got a 15, a 34, a 10, a 13, and then just turns it right around. 13 at Buds Creek, going into the SMX playoffs, goes 2-2 for the first two rounds. So pretty darn impressive. Now, that first round, he might have gotten bailed out a little bit by Joe Shimoda getting a little aggressive and going down. So, but hey, not his fault that Shimoda got aggressive and ended up running into the back tire of old Seth Hammaker. So I really think that there's a solid chance that Hammaker can kind of slide in. Like I said, 14 points down. Joe Shimoda kind of controls everything. Controls his own destiny, so to say. If the gap was 9 points, then it would be in anyone's race, but the gap is 10 points, so Shimoda can go out there, go 2-2 in the next round and win the championship, which is also who I predicted to win the championship. I also predicted him to win this overall here in St. Louis, and that's exactly what he did. He went very hard fought, finding out now that he was sick, very hard fought, 2-2 for the number one overall for Joe Shimoda. I mean, honestly, kind of a little bit the same as Seth Hammaker. Pretty solid day. Got a couple good starts. There was a point first moto around halfway. He was 11 seconds back at Deegan, and then Deegan pushed the front end and was only 4 seconds back. Kind of wondering maybe Joe Shimoda closed the gap up a little bit. Wasn't able to do that. He finished 6 seconds back, which now obviously hearing that he was sick, not super surprised that Joe Shimoda wasn't really able to close the gap like we probably would have assumed he would have been able to in something. And about like motocross, he was kind of able to close some gaps, keep the gaps pretty tight for the most part, except for a couple races. And yeah, St. Louis being sick, just wasn't able to do that. Moto 2 goes out, gets another good start in second, and then just kind of rode behind Vial. Finished a second and a half behind Tom Vial, which, I mean, I'm sure at that point he knew he had the 2-2 for the overall wrapped up. Didn't want to do anything super crazy or to ruin his chances here at the overall. And that's exactly what he did. Just two very smart, and probably especially towards the end of that first moto, energy conserving races by Joe Shimoda. Didn't go to the podium after the first moto. So not super surprised. Probably going to get fined for that. Probably already did get fined for that, which is stupid. in my mind, yes, I would have liked to hear from him, but if he's sick, just let him go to the back and try to get his energy back for Moto 2, which obviously he was able to do. Going into the playoffs, I said that I think Joe Shimoda might be done with Deegan's crap, and maybe Shimoda would throw it in on Hayden Deegan, take him down. I mean, we saw him do it the first year of this in the LA Coliseum, where it came down to them two in the final moto. Shimoda got a little aggressive with Deegan, but Deegan was able to overcome it and ended up winning the championship. I thought there is a very, very solid chance that we would see Joe Shimoda do it again. But this time, it was Levi Kitchen who ended up going after Hayden Deegan. And this was where the fireworks started here for the 250s. Kitchen went in for, yes, a very aggressive pass on Hayden Deegan. And it's interesting to hear some other people talk about this or read some other things that people think about this. Mainly the Deegan fan side of it, because people always say that it was dirty. Kitchen should be fined and docked positions and points and whatnot. Now, real quick, Kitchen, it's his first offense, and so we only got a written warning. So I'm not sure if a fine comes with a written warning or not, but he did not get docked any points or positions. He basically docked himself positions by not being able to ride out of this aggressive block pass, where he also went down and finished 12th now in moto number 2. Levi Kitchen going into the right-handed corner. Okay, we'll back it up here. I guess Kitchen thought Hayden Deegan kind of cross-jumped him or crossed over on him, and that kind of irritated Levi Kitchen. And so then Levi Kitchen took punishment or whatever into his own hands. And I'm trying to find this pass here. Trying to scroll through. Should have done this earlier. Here we go. Levi Kitchen. So looking at it on the angle of them coming out of the turn, Deegan tries to go wide. Levi Kitchen cuts across a couple ruts. It looks like Deegan was kind of ready for it. He leaned into it a little bit, so he knew it was coming. So Deegan tried to lean on him, and Kitchen threw Deegan over the berm. Kitchen also, in that, when they first hit, it's hard to kind of scroll and watch this at the same time. Honestly, looks like Kitchen might have just grabbed a handful of throttle trying to get out of it. Front wheel comes up. Kitchen falls off the bike, off to the side. They both go down. Now the interesting thing, man, I'm trying to figure out how to word some of this. I mean, Ricky Carmichael, the GOAT, always says, if you're going to go in for a pass like that, you better not fall down yourself. And that's exactly what Levi Kitchen did. And then the interesting thing is what Levi Kitchen posted after this. Now I gotta go back to this. Levi Kitchen said this on Instagram. He said, "Wild night of racing in St. Louis. Was happy to be healthy after the start crash in practice. Just pretty sore." Also forgot about that, where Deegan and Volin's bars got tangled up. Volin goes flying. runs into Levi Kitchen, then Levi Kitchen went down as well from that. So that's what he's talking about, the start crash in practice, just pretty sore. As far as the incident in Moto number 2, there's a lot of money on the line. Had I stayed up and got on the podium, I'd be back in this thing with an opportunity to make great money in Vegas. Love me or hate me, I'm racing for myself and myself only. Thanks to the people who support me. See you in Vegas. Now that's, people get upset with him saying that. That is basically the exact same thing Hayden Deegan would have said. So you can't really hate Levi Kitchen on that. I went into the comments and saw people, a bunch of people hating on him in there. Also a bunch of people giving him props for that as well. There was also, I saw one particular person say, laughing at him, saying, oh, he thought he could get to the podium, when there is a very solid chance he could have gotten to the podium. He started up front, or at least near the front, and finished Moto 1 in 5th, so he had some speed coming into this. Easily could have gotten to the podium, I think, in the end. I don't know. It's just this whole situation now makes Vegas very, very interesting. And I haven't seen anything that I keep trying to say Hegan instead of Deegan on Instagram. I'm not sure if he posted anything or not. Yeah, he didn't post like an actual post. I don't know if he put something on his story and I missed it. But yeah, it doesn't look like Hayden Deegan has really responded to it, which I'm very, very surprised about, because this is definitely something I can see Hayden Deegan going on here and saying something crazy. I'm going to check X real quick, see if he posted anything on here. No, he did not. So nothing, really, anything from Hayden Deegan regarding the situation. I did see Mitch Payton say, the team manager for Pro Circuit Kawasaki, say he was okay with the pass. And obviously he wants his riders to fight for every position that they can get. And that is exactly what Levi Kitchen did. It's just it cost him, because he went 5-12 for 10th overall now. Hayden Deegan 1-14 for 6th overall. Deegan, first moto, like I said, kind of ran away from Joe Shimoda a little bit. And then second moto, he was struggling big time. There was some speculation on if he had a front brake or not, because Jason Thomas down on the track, I believe it was Jason Thomas on the track, said it looked like he had just enough of that lever to still be able to use his front brake. That's why he was still able to basically match lap times to everybody else. Joe Shimoda had the fastest lap at a 113.9. Hayden Deegan ran a 115.2. I mean, that's coming through traffic. So that matches basically with everybody else's lap times that he was around. Everybody else around him was about 115. Kitchen put in a 114. Everyone else about 115 or 116 around Hayden Deegan, where he finished in Moto number 2. So the podium overall: Shimoda first, Hamaker second, Nate Thrasher third. Nate Thrasher also a very quiet. He went 6-4 for third overall. So another very, very quiet ride from a 250 guy to get a podium. It's basically what all three podium guys did. Joe Shimoda didn't do anything crazy. Consistent 2-2. Seth Hamaker, same exact thing. Consistent 3-3. Nate Thrasher's got the craziest scores out of all of them with a 6-4. Never on a podium for the moto, but was on the podium overall. And then like I mentioned, Tom Vielle. Very, very interesting. I think KTM might be over the Tom Vielle experience. And we will see how this Jorge Prado experience goes for them next year. I think that just about wraps us up here for the 250s. Yeah, nothing else really catching my eye here for 250s. So I guess we'll switch it up and head over to the 450 class now. So taking a look at qualifying, one thing that is a little bit of a surprise here is Hunter Lawrence qualified second. Usually, yes, he's fast in the races. Typically, he doesn't always have that same type of speed that Jet has. And, I mean, I guess he did prove it here in qualifying with Jet Lawrence qualifying fastest, 6/10 faster than his older brother Hunter. Jet ran a 109.703. Jet, the only one in the 109s, obviously, for both classes. Hunter with a 110.353. Sexton, I picked him to win. Exciting seeing him qualify in third here. Obviously, it did all kind of fall off the rails for him in, especially in Moto number two, where he was in a decent spot and then just kind of basically blew it at the end. Very, very interesting situation with Chase Sexton as well. Kind of in the same situation as his 250 teammate Tom Vielle. Maybe looking forward to his next team, his next ride. But hopefully Sexton still has, obviously, Vegas this upcoming weekend, and ideally he is still going to make it to the Motocross of Nations. So he's going to have to wait a little bit longer to get on to his new ride. So with Sexton qualifying third, RJ Hampshire right behind him in fourth place in qualifying. That is the surprise of qualifying. When I think back, RJ Hampshire, especially even on his 250 time, not always the fastest qualifier, but I think he just kind of took advantage here of the track being very fast for everybody and very difficult to make up time. And obviously when we got to races, difficult to make passes. And so I think RJ Hampshire, that definitely helped him out. This was basically his first Supercross race on a 450. After being on a 450 for a while, I know he did, I believe it was Daytona on a 450 before. I have to go take a look here. He's got a whole bunch of 250s, that's for sure. I thought he did one 450. Yeah, he did a 450 back in 2023. Got 8th place in Daytona, just like I thought it was Daytona. But yeah, he's never been really like a top of the board type of guy. I mean, he was still over a second slower than Jet, but still very impressed with RJ Hampshire. Like I said, basically his first real Supercross race on a 450. Yes, he had that Daytona race on the 450, but that's basically SMX already. Basically kind of what they did last week, with a little bit of mixture of motocross and Supercross all in one. This week, St. Louis, very Supercrossy. This next week, Vegas, going back to a little bit more of a mixture. Going to obviously get into the track map later. One thing that did surprise me here in qualifying, before we move on to the actual races and the excitement that happened at the end of Moto number one, was Cooper Webb, your defending Supercross champion, 2 seconds slower than Jet. Cooper ran a 111.716. Very surprised. Cooper Webb just kind of had an overall type of day, is probably the best way to describe it. He went 8-4, 5th overall. Obviously still very good, better than the before-mentioned RJ Hampshire and Chase Sexton. But I was kind of expecting to see Cooper Webb up fighting for podiums, an overall podium here, maybe even a chance at a win, but just kind of, I don't know, they must have just missed the mark on his bike setup when Jet caught him in moto number one. Yeah, moto number one, it seemed like Jet was able to move by him pretty quickly. Now, Jet was using a pretty crazy line where it was before they had any ruts, he was able to turn down early, basically do what Cooper Webb does to almost everybody else, just get a little bit lower in that turn and make the pass that way. This time we had the roles reversed where it was Cooper Webb getting past like that, instead of Cooper Webb making a pass like that. So now moving on here to the motos, Ken Roczen. He came out firing here in moto number one. Everybody knows if he's able to get a good start, especially if he gets the a hole shot, he is very difficult to catch and pass in the early parts of the motos. He just has, seems like he's got insane sprint speed that sometimes looks like even Jet Lawrence or Chase Sexton can't even match him on that. But Ken Roczen, very good moto one. I was a little surprised, to be honest, because when I think of, there we go, when I think of Ken Roczen, I think a little bit more of like hard pack tracks are his specialty. I did totally forget that St. Louis was where he got his first win after his insane injuries. I think it was 1,036 days, something like that. Maybe it was 1,300, but it was over 1,000 days. But typically, Ken Roczen, you think of hard pack, throttle control. That seems really where he kind of accelerates. But it seemed like he did pretty good in the ruts here in St. Louis. Everybody always talks about how good the dirt is there, and Ken Roczen, especially moto number one, was able to use it to his advantage. Little bit different story in moto number two. He finished fifth, so he went 2-5 for fourth overall. Still a very, very good moto number one. Not exactly sure what happened to him in moto two. But, yeah, I got nothing in my notes on old Kenny for moto number two. So, yeah, still, I think a very overall good and respected day for Roczen. Let's take a look where he's sitting at in the points. He's sitting in seventh in the points. Just one point behind Justin Cooper. So your red plate holder at round one is now sitting in sixth place, 1 point in front of Ken Roczen, where Justin Cooper this last weekend, this has just been an absolute struggle for him. Last week, North Carolina, he had that first or second turn crash, gets up and dead last, and ended up finishing in 11th. This week, finishes 8th overall. He had 6-11 moto scores. So, I mean, I was looking forward to Justin Cooper. He started to make a name for himself towards the end of Supercross and towards the end of Pro Motocross. He was able to fight for podiums. I thought we were going to get that same Justin Cooper up top five fighting for everything. And he hasn't finished top five in a race yet. And now at this point, I don't think he will next week in Vegas, especially with, you know, the Lawrence brothers are going to be in there. Tomac's probably going to be in there. So, yeah, just hate to see it for Justin Cooper. I don't know if maybe the pressure of having the red plate got to him a little bit, but wouldn't think that would be the problem because it was a crash in the, like I said, first or second turn. last weekend in North Carolina, and then just seemed like basically an overall struggle. When we go back, we'll look at his fastest lap time from moto number one was a second. 1.2 seconds slower than the fastest by Hunter Lawrence. And then moto number two, 0.8 seconds slower than your fastest in this lap, Jet Lawrence. How did he stand in qualifying? Qualifying 1.7 seconds slower. So maybe just them Yamahas, Justin Cooper and Cooper Webb, just missed the mark on setup. Tomac did pretty well. So I don't think it was, wasn't a whole team thing. Tomac was able to go 3-2 for third overall, and Eli Tomac, now that we're on it, he had the craziest, probably, if you take out the Kitchen and Deegan incident, Tomac had probably the craziest 3-4 laps out of everybody. End of both motos, end of moto number one. Jet was able to get into fourth place and start pushing Eli Tomac, which started pushing Tomac into Ken Roczen, and them three fought for the last. And then even Hunter Lawrence started to kind of get brought back into the fold by Tomac or Roczen pushing into Hunter. So it became a legitimate three rider battle for the last lap and a half, probably, of that first moto between Roczen, Tomac, and Jet Lawrence. And it was insane. I thought there was a chance going into the last corner. Jet had a pretty solid chance at getting Eli Tomac. Tomac also kind of looked like he had a pretty solid chance at getting Ken Roczen. But the two wily veterans of Roczen and Tomac didn't let the youngster of Jet Lawrence make the pass on either one of them. And that's even with Jet Lawrence getting a absolute terrible jump. He said he was too far forward on the bike. And I heard Cianciarulo explain it pretty good. When you're too far forward on the bike off the start, when you let the clutch go, you have nowhere to go except for back. And with all the traction and torque that they can get off those grates, you can't lean your body any more forward to keep the drive going forward. And so when Jet let the clutch out off the start, he had nowhere to go, and so he just wasn't able to get the exact same drive really that everybody else was, except for Chase Sexton. Sexton seemed like he also had a bad jump, and it also looked like Sexton's right foot got maybe like blown off his when he went to go put his foot on the pegs, looked like he might have missed it or something. And that probably is the reason Sexton had a bad jump. But yeah, Jet was 21st coming out of the first corner, got all the way up to fourth, and then completely turned it around in moto number one, where Jet was able to go grab the whole shot and just have his typical 2 to 3 second lead over Tomac in moto number two. So Jet, in the end, still kind of saved the day, going 4-1 for second overall. Hunter, pretty solid. I feel a sneeze coming. Pretty solid moto number two. Here it is. Nope, it's gone. I willed it away. But at the end, we also had, like I said, Eli Tomac was involved in, I think, what did I say, 4 of the craziest laps out of everybody, because at the end, Tomac was involved with it once again, with, except this time it was Hunter Lawrence who was really pushing him. And of course they don't, why can we not get all like the good stuff posted? It was the exact same, end of moto number 2 was the exact same as the end of moto number 1, basically, with Eli Tomac being in the middle, and Jet made a little mistake, let Eli catch up to him at the end, and Hunter was kind of hounding Eli almost the entire race for the most part, after Hunter made a very easy pass on Chase Sexton, which we will get to that, obviously, when we get to Chase Sexton. And so it was a 2-lap sprint for the 3 of them to see how the cards were going to play out. Jet was using a very cool line when they were going, before they went like into the, I think they called it the convention center, that when they went under the stands, if you went inside, most guys were kind of rolling in the 2 singles there, because they just didn't have enough speed to double it. Jet was able to find a line where he was able to double it from the inside, which is a whole lot faster, and he didn't have to go outside to keep up the momentum to double it. And so I'm thinking maybe that's where Jet made the little mistake. And so once Jet was able to do that again, and then towards the end of the moto, I don't think he said he wasn't able to do it anymore towards the end, and that's what was able really to help kind of push Eli into the back of Jet. And then, like I said, Hunter was there as well, and it was insane for the last couple laps. Again, I might have to go back and rewatch it. But yeah, Jet was able to get that second moto win, finished 4-1 for second, like I said. Hunter Lawrence, I don't know why I didn't pick him to win. He is the king of the second round. Every second round that he's gone to, he's won. 250s, the first year they did this in, it was Chicago, he won that round. Last year in either Dallas, Fort Worth, that area, he also won that one, and then went to St. Louis, also wins round number 2 here in St. Louis. So he's the king of the second round. So next year, got to keep a note on that. Pick Hunter Lawrence to win second round next year. And Eli Tomac, 3-2, third overall. And now Chase Sexton. Like I mentioned, he got a bad jump in moto number 1. Was kind of able to follow Jet through the pack for the most part. And then Jet just kind of separated himself. Chase ended up finishing 5th place in moto number 1. Got a better start, a lot better start in moto number 2. Was running 3rd for a while. And then Hunter Lawrence made, I don't know if Chase was just kind of surprised by it or just wasn't expecting Hunter to be there, but it was a very, very interesting situation, because Hunter was just able to go right up the inside and make the pass on him for, what did I say, 3rd place, and then he was running in 4th for the longest time until the last lap, where he ran, his last lap was 25 seconds slower in Moto 2, and he went from 4th to 10th. He was rolling around the track, not hitting easy doubles. KTM PR said, before finishing 10th in Moto 2 as a result of a late race mishap. I guess he was looking down at the bike after, so I'm not sure if maybe something happened with the bike. Just very, very interesting. And then Sexton did go on to post on Instagram, not really saying what happened, just saying pretty much that, sorry, got distracted by a different post. We'll just go on here and read it, I guess. Let's see. Chase Sexton on Instagram said, "Not much to say about St. Louis, and to be honest, I'm quite disappointed. Just want to apologize to the fans and to the people who support me. It's been a trying year, but it hasn't been from a lack of effort from me and the people in my corner. See y'all in Vegas." So yeah, just very, very interesting. I think, like I said, he's kind of in the same boat as Vial. And honestly, I think Prado at this point, I think he's just kind of done with the team he's on right now. I think Vial is looking forward to his 450 career over in the MXGP with the factory Honda team. And I think, obviously, we all know that, that Prado is looking forward to most likely getting up on a Chase Sexton's KTM. So that's going to make it very, very interesting and very entertaining for KTM and Jorge Prado. But hey, Prado will be back on an Austrian brand like he was when he won championships in the MXGP series. So yeah, I guess heard on Title 24 that there was a video of Chase Sexton rolling around the track at the end. Looking up his name on X, there's nothing for it. You go to latest, there's nothing there all the way back to Friday. I see absolutely nothing. No video, so I'm not sure how they got that video, how they saw it, because I didn't see it on the broadcast, didn't see it on the post-race show. So yeah, very interested to hopefully see it. But yeah, just an overall disappointing day, I would assume, for Chase Sexton. Well, not assume. It was a very disappointing day. With a 7th place now, he is 23 points back. So he's all but out of it, essentially. The only guy we got left, really, it's basically going to be a replay of what we saw last year. Winner-take-all situation between the Lawrence brothers. Last year we saw them tie on points, but Jet got the tiebreaker. Jet, once again, up by 6 points going into this final triple point round. Eli Tomac, kind of within striking distance. He's going to need help. 16 back, obviously not as much help as Sexton in fourth. 23 back. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens on race day when everybody lines up Saturday night, late Saturday night in Vegas. What else we got here? I think that's basically it. Sucks we don't have our typical, like we had for the motocross. We can't rely on our 10 minutes of Jorge Prado rant, so that kind of sucks. Now it's kind of switched to a Chase Sexton rant here today. Looking ahead to Vegas, pull up the track map here. World Championship Final, the strip at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Looks like, just based on the pictures here, I know last year there was a couple sections, their outdoor style sections, where it was very dark. Looks like we're going to probably have the same problems. We have another split start, sort of. This time it's split by an over-under bridge and not just coming out of two completely different ways and going separate directions like we had at round one. This one looks very motocross-based, unlike we had this last weekend in St. Louis, where it was basically kind of a tame, toned-down supercross. This one appears to be very motocross. There's, just on the track map, four sand sections. No, like, real bowl turns, maybe one. No real rhythm lanes. This is going to be a lot higher speed. Will be very interesting. I think there's a good chance we might see Eli Tomac thrive at this track, higher speeds. I mean, that being said, Chase Sexton could also be very fast. Could play spoiler. Both Tomac and Sexton could play spoiler for one of these Lawrence brothers by getting in there and separating them by a couple points, couple positions. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Thinking 250, no bull turns. Well, one possible looks like a bull turn. So there's a spot there where maybe Hayden Deegan is going to go taking a shot at Levi Kitchen. So that's going to be very interesting to see. You know, Joe Shimoda wouldn't mind seeing that, because that would basically all but wrap up the championship for him if that's the situation. But yeah, it looks very motocrossy, left-handed, big sweeping left-handed first turn. It's a lot like you'll see out at the Pro National races, sweeping big first turns. So, yeah, I suspect very fast speeds and Jett Lawrence to win. Obviously, I'm going to pick Jett to win because I picked him to win the entire championship. It would be cool to see Hunter win his first 450 championship. Even though SMX World Championship doesn't really, I've noticed, not just with me, but a bunch of other people online saying it doesn't really move the needle like I think the super motocross people thought it would. I couldn't think of AMA. I don't think it's super motocross is moving the needle like the AMA thought it would, with just everybody, like I said, not even me. Even I listened to an interview with Brent Duffy, Deegan's mechanic, and he said from the beginning he wasn't really a big fan of the point structure. Now it does kind of allow for more chaos to go on in the third round, which I guess is good. Keeps more guys into it until the third round, which, I mean, like I just said, I guess it's good. But it just makes it kind of seem a little Mickey Mouse to me. But I've said all this before, and I will probably say it again going into next year as well. Or maybe even next week. We will never know. Only one way to find out, and that's to do it. Like I said, Jett Lawrence 450. Got to take Joe Shimoda 250. Like I said, I don't have to because I did pick him to win the championship. There's a chance he could just go out there and go 2-2 for second overall, second overall, but first overall in the championship. No matter what Deegan does, Deegan can go out there and go 1-1, and Joe Shimoda will win the championship if he goes 2-2 by 1 point. Joe Shimoda hopefully is feeling a little better, isn't sick. We get the full Joe show, Wasabi Joe, Sushi Joe, whatever one you want to call him, and back to full health for him, obviously. I think that'll probably wrap us up here. Talking underscore moto on X. Go do all that fun stuff. Like I said, I got to get back to posting on there. It's been way too long. I was looking today. Last thing I posted was Jorge Prado not doing these final rounds. Just a little tough with not being able to watch the races live. So a little bit more difficult to kind of tweet along and try to have relevant stuff when what I would want to say has already been out there by 100 other people for a day and a half. But last time we'll have to do it here. Next weekend, ideally, maybe watch it Sunday. Who knows? Like I said, I might just live tweet along while I watch it, no matter when I watch it. Talking underscore moto on X, go to follow, retweet, comment, all the fun stuff. And we will be back next week, hopefully breaking down some more chaos in the 250 class, because that was fun. So we'll be back next week. See you.